KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Over the last couple of weeks, a group of activists have traveled from Oregon to Washington, D.C. by bicycle as part of the Peltier Justice Ride. The ride is aiming to bring attention to the case of Leonard Peltier, a Native American activist who was convicted of the first-degree murder of two FBI agents clear back in 1975. Peltier's conviction has been challenged by advocates such as the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights and Amnesty International. KBOO reporters Christopher Francisco and Brent Georgeson followed along with the justice riders as they traveled thousands of miles to the nation's capital. For today's News In Depth, we're bringing you coverage from the middle of their journey. To hear the full coverage of the Peltier Justice Ride, go to www.kboo.fm/Peltier Justice Ride, and Peltier is spelled P-E-L-T-I-E-R.
This is Chris Francisco reporting for KBOO from the Peltier Freedom Ride 2016. We are traveling from Banks, Oregon to Washington, D.C. from July 12th to the 24th to create awareness of the injustice Leonard Peltier has endured and support for his clemency. Thank you to all the people who have supported Leonard Peltier over the years.
On Tuesday, July 19th, the Peltier Justice Ride woke up in Kansas, halfway through their journey to Washington, D.C. Chauncey Peltier, one of the sons of Leonard Peltier, and the main organizer for the Peltier Justice Ride 2016, is encouraged by how much ground the riders have already covered and the human connections they are making on the way.
Seems to be a long journey, but we all seem to be pulling together and sticking together and watching out each other along the way. We're probably almost to the halfway point. If not, we're there. Pretty hot. Everything seems to be holding up pretty good. Everybody seems to be in good spirits. And hope to get to D.C. and meet up with a lot of people to show their support for Leonard. It's long journey from Oregon to D.C., but it's worth it. You know, Leonard's been wrongfully incarcerated for 40 years, and it's time to everybody start asking for clemency for Leonard so he can go home. People seem to be seeing the murals driving down the road. People seem to be taking cards, Googling it, finding out. Sounds like people are learning about Leonard along the way. Like last night, we talked to a couple veterans, and one was a retired vet. He was a retired police officer, and he agreed that Leonard needed to be set free and go home. And like I say, I've had police officers come up to my vending booths and sign the petitions, and that's all we're asking for is clemency, asking for justice. So hopefully we can get make a showing on this, and we gotta let Obama know that Leonard has a lot of supporters out here, because it's time for Leonard to go home.
The Peltier Justice Ride is having a tremendous impact on the riders, and KBOO volunteer Christopher Francisco is the first one affected.
It's been a very good experience for all of us, you know, like some people have never done this before. You know, I've done it. I've been coordinated the longest walk northern route before. So for me, you know, this is like my second time going through this again. And it just kind of like triggers some of the things that I was feeling on the longest walk when I was coordinated. It's very difficult situations. You know, you have to come up with improvise and come up with ways to make things work for you. And you have to become a people person. And you know, really work with, have compassion, have patience, you know, then you're going to have endurance to, you know, go through all this. And you have to really be in prayer. You know, we used to say every inch is a prayer, every mile is a ceremony when we're running. But we're driving now, though, so that's totally different. That's a different part. But this time around, it's a good experience for me because I'm not in charge. I'm just doing the media, you know, filming and interviewing. So I'm really enjoying myself. And just looking at the scenery. I've never been on this route before, and so it's pretty cool.
Annie, one of the riders, describes her favorite moment on the Peltier Justice ride so far.
To date, my favorite time was actually in Fort Morgan, Colorado. There was a beautiful lightning storm that passed over the hotel where we were staying. So I found an open field behind our hotel, and I was able to witness at least 40 minutes, if not an hour, of just the most powerful lightning storm that I've seen in my life. And the whole time I was praying and soaking in as much energy as I could from those flashes. And it really felt like the harder I prayed, the thicker and brighter and stronger the lightning bolts got. And in my heart, I think that was just, that was some kind of affirmation that my prayers may come answered on this ride. I'd say that's my favorite so far. But every moment is my favorite moment because it's all beautiful.
The riders are continuously amazed by the natural beauty they get to witness on the road.
My favorite thing I've seen would have to be the rocks in Green River, Wyoming. Beautiful. That was a great, beautiful place. And also, just the landscapes are amazing, have been always amazing, but the people on this ride and this convoy has been, there have been great people.
What's your most favorite time on the route?
My favorite time, when we get to our campsite and get to set up and get to sit around and talk and meet with people, and then also do video work and editing at the end, and seeing how, putting all the days of activities together and seeing how it comes out.
As they departed Kansas yesterday, KBOO reporters Christopher and Brent decided to stop by Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence, which used to be an Indian boarding school, and find out more about the history of this now fully accredited university that serves about 1,000 Native students every year. Go to kboo.fm/Peltier Justice Ride to listen to the full interview with Jincita Warrington, director of Haskell Cultural Center and Museum. She commented on the situation of Leonard Peltier and how his case can be used to teach new generations about the struggle of Native peoples in the United States and to create tribal laws that protect their citizens against the federal government's politically motivated actions against tribes and their members.
Personally, as a person, you know, not as a federal employee, obviously, I wasn't there. I wasn't even born at the time, but you know, history and the facts speak for themselves. He wasn't the only one that was out there. You know, there was hundreds of people, and those hundreds of people that were there, they weren't just Lakota people. They were grassroots people, warrior societies from all over the United States that came there, you know, as part of AIM, and collectively stood behind the concept of what AIM stood for. But they weren't all Lakota people. Maybe that's what the papers say, you know, because they just looked at Indians and saw Indians and then assumed that they were all the same. But our history tells us each of these tribes had warrior societies in their own tribes, and when another tribe needed your help, you know, and especially if it was something like the United States government that they were fighting, of course the people were going to rise up and collectively support each other, you know. And so all these warrior societies came from all different reservations when the call for help went out, you know. And it was about that, making that first stance, you know, and the power of numbers. And again, the power of collective. The Lakota Nation is huge in itself, in its entirety. it couldn't battle the United States government, you know. And, well, you know, it did, actually, it did for many parts of history, but because, again, of the collective power of the people that came from all over, they were truly a standing force, and then the United States government actually had to start calling in their military tactics and the different things that they did to protect themselves as well, because it was truly, again, the first time that the people stood up for themselves, and they were sovereign, and they were self-determining, and they didn't follow the protocol of the United States government, you know, and so those are important concepts for us to be able to learn about everything that was there, everything about even legally just studying all that and learning from our mistakes and being able to write tribal laws and codes that now protect us to make sure that something, that some kind of political misconstruction of some sort, whatever we want to call it, injustice, grave injustice is not, you know, applied to us again. Today we have the power to understand the white man's law and those different things, and our nations truly have the power to become more sovereign, but that's through writing our own laws and codes, you know, that will protect our people, that will keep people out, you know, that won't let those types of things, you know, be applied to us. And so, but again, you know, history, you know, repeats itself, and now, you know, we just look at all of these things that are happening in the world today, you know, and again, these aren't new things, you know. Society is shocked by the fact that all these things are happening, all this police brutality, and the people are rising up, and, you know, there's just a lot of miseducation and misconstruction, and there's no value for life anymore. You know, people are just shooting at cops without realizing that, hey, they're someone's dad, or they're someone's grandpa, or they're someone's, you know, brother, or, you know, son too. But the same thing now, you know, we can take this as a unique opportunity to start reteaching our history to our own kids and creating a parallel of something they're seeing in the news today, and then talking about our history and how those very concepts were applied to us over time, and talking about being resilient and being self-determining and being proud of who you are and those different things, rather than the inner fighting, you know, between tribes and things. There's many ways that we can, you know, educate our own people using contemporary issues today if we understand the traditions and then our own history itself, and, you know, truly use it as a teaching tool rather than dictate to them how they think. We just, you know, paint the picture for them and tell them a story and help them to come to their own understanding, you know, and that's the real traditional way that some of us were blessed to be able to be taught from. And so, if we can reteach some with some of those concepts here at the Cultural Center to the many tribal nations that we serve here at Haskell, then we're doing a good job, and we're doing our part here to help the students that come through.
Do you remember a man named Leonard Peltier, Lakota Sioux, who Peter so revered, when the big oil companies tried to take away sacred land? He came to the Black Hills to lend a helping hand. They said, don't dig up this earth.
Last night, the riders rested in Higginsville, Missouri, before they hit the road again this morning, heading to Illinois. Tune in again tomorrow to the KABU Evening News to hear an update from the Peltier Justice Ride 2016. Go to kboo.fm/Peltier Justice Ride to listen to past updates from the ride. Also, follow KABU on social media to see photos and videos by Christopher Francisco from the Peltier Justice Ride. For the KABU Evening News, the segment was produced by Delphine Crescenzo and Christopher Francisco. Thank you for listening.
And the Indians prayed, oh, my relations, and they prayed, oh, Metakiasen, and they prayed, honor the earth, and Peltier said, pray for the people.
Good evening. This is KBOO Portland, and the time is 5:58. Up next is Rose City Native Radio.
KABU at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, A Letter from Momo, will play Thursday, August 11th at 7 p.m. A Letter to Momo has been described as the Japanese anime Alice in Wonderland. As is so often the case in Japanese animation, displacement and emotional upheaval lead to interaction with the supernatural. Again, that's a letter from Momo, Thursday, August 11th, at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
In 1964, a handful of determined classical music and jazz enthusiasts put their passion and engineering skills together to create Portland, Oregon's first community radio station. 4 years later, in 1968, KABU was born. After 48 years, KABU Community Radio is still very much a thriving media hub for Portland and beyond. 2018 will mark 50 years, and KABU is planning a long line of celebrations now. We need your help. Our top four goals to get started are fundraising, Oregon Historical Society exhibit building, sharing stories in history, and events in celebration. For more information, contact volunteer at kboo.org or Armando Gonzalez at mandosmundo@yahoo.com. We look forward to your help.
KABU has offered a Bill of the Month membership since the very beginning of the station. Now you can become a sustaining member without any of the paperwork